Brass neck of the year, Louise. let's start there.
I went with Jared the Monk Hutch, not because he ran for election, because that's democracy and anyone is free to run for election, but I think more so the way that the scenes were handled when he arrived up to the RDS for the count. He was very defensive. He didn't want to answer questions from the media. Your own colleague here in RTE, Paul Reynolds, got an awful telling all from him.
It took Paul a while to maybe realise that Jared didn't want to answer questions. So he persisted for a while.
What did Jerry call him? A dying wasp.
Which is a quote from Michael McDougall. Michael McDougall had, I think, once described a period in gangland killings in Limerick as the last sting of the dying wasp.
They're actually selling t-shirts on Moore Street at the moment with a dying wasp, the Hutch's face or the Monk's face on it, and you're only a dying wasp.
Yeah, and I mean, and Paul, fair play to Paul, he was doing his job. But I mean, a key part of democracy is, you can run for election. Anyone can run for election, and you have to admire or congratulate anyone who's brave enough to put their name on a ballot paper. It's something I would never be able to do. But a part of that as well is answering questions and speaking to the media. And Jerry Hutch, when he arrived up to the RDS that day, I actually said it to him. I don't think he necessarily appreciated it, but he would stand and, you know, towards the cameras and get his photo taken, but yet he wouldn't answer questions about... It was very clear at that stage he was going to lose, but he still wouldn't answer the questions about... Like Harry said earlier, being named in the special criminal court as being in control of the guns that had killed David Byrne.
But I think even beyond that, there was no questioning of him as a politician. There was no, what do you stand for? All of the questions were about...
We didn't get a chance.
Well, yeah, exactly.
We tried. I'm sure everyone around this table's...
The only questions he answered were about, you know, his life, you know, about, you know, crime or whatever. There was no, what do you stand for as a politician? And Gary Gannon made the point during the election, if this guy wants to run as a politician, start treating him like a politician.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the questions that Paul Reynolds, put to him maybe five, maybe six times. What change? What change do you mean?
Yeah.
And he just said, change.
I mean, it wasn't clear. And I mean, like I said, in a democracy, anyone can put their self forward, like that's fine. And I think that's something that has to be treasured as well. We're very lucky that that's the system we have. But you have to open yourself to scrutiny. And that's something he clearly didn't do that day up in the RDS. And like Paul said, in the lead up to the election. So, I mean, you have to take the good with the bad, and you have to answer questions, and you have to be accountable as well. And I think that's something he wasn't willing to
maybe
do.
Maybe taking a vow of silence.
Perhaps. In keeping with the name, which Harry McGee gave him.
Harry McGee, in your McGill days.
Even before that, in the Sunday Press days, actually. But I did a big profile on him for McGill, and encountered him quite a lot at the time. I mean, he's smart. He's a very smart guy. And one of the things that I couldn't figure out is there was a strategic reason why he decided to run. And I don't know, what is it to do with the difficulty he's encountered with the Spanish police in Tenerife, or there was another motive? Now, he did say that he wanted to win a seat. I don't know if he was sincere in that. But he because he refused to explain anything to the press, it was very hard to glean why, in fact, he was running. I don't think he was running to win a seat, but I think that he had his reasons to run, and he never fully explained it.
Philip, your brass neck of the year nomination.
This is kind of one that's just emerged in the last few weeks or so, and even maybe it's just this week. But Catherine Zappone returning to Irish politics in seeking a seat in the Shannon is a little bit galling, I think, at this point. She served as a minister in the government under Enda Kenny and later Leo Varadkar. But then we had this controversy around the next government trying to appoint her as a special envoy. She was called before the Oireachtas, the same one she wants to get back into, to answer questions on that, and refused point blank, never engaged with any of the questions that arose and caused huge difficulties for the government in that. And that coupled with, of course, her questionable, let's say, party in the Marion Hotel.
Okay, during the lockdown.
During COVID.
Okay. Well, she is, as you say, a candidate for it. So we'll swerve off that one and go to Paul, your nomination.
Owen Murphy, similar to Philip, a former minister in that government. Look, I'm not downplaying the difficulties that are involved in being a politician, particularly a cabinet level one. But I think that for a lot of people, seeing the former housing minister selling his failure back to the Irish public on a rehabilitation tour, doing an event in the Irish Embassy in London last week, I think that's pretty galling for a lot of people.
Okay, Harry.
Yeah, I'm kind of making up for my failure to nominate the Bicycle Shed. I think Patrick O'Donovan gets my nomination. It's a small thing, but when the
let's hear from him. I think we have audio of that.
All right.
Those TDs and staff members that like to cycle to the Dáil, the same as they might like to cycle to other parts of Dublin. You know, there's nothing wrong with putting a plastic bag over the saddle and tying it onto, as I say, a stand that can be bought off the shelf.
Nothing wrong with trying a plastic bag over the saddle, unless you're Harry McGee who wants a bike shelter.
Well, I'll put the plastic bag over happily, but what Patrick O'Donovan failed to mention there was he was Minister for Higher Education, but he only became Minister for Higher Education in April. And before that, he was Minister with responsibility for the OPW. So he was the line minister in charge of the department which decided to put the Bicycle Shed in.
And he made the Ministers and Secretaries Act, where does the book stop, Harry?
Well, that's a good question. But John Conlon, who I know for a long time, who's been in charge of the OPW, he'd only taken over the job. So the Bicycle Shed was a fait accompli by the time he actually went into the OPW. And that poor man has taken it in the neck. You know, but he has to. That's his job.
Right.
But I just thought it was a little bit of chutzpah from Patrick O'Donovan to be talking about putting plastic over a bicycle shed while omitting to mention that he was the guy with political responsibility for the OPW.
OK, show of hands in reverse order. Everybody in favour of Patrick O'Donovan, raise your hand.
I was about to say, Harry, you need to put your hand
on. Yeah, well,
okay.
I'm swayed by Harry's argument.
OK, all right. Well, we have a winner there. That's Patrick O'Donovan for that one. OK.